भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। दिस् मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 25 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा लिफ्ट्स गोवर्धन हिल टेक्स्ट 3। अहो श्री मद महात्म्यं गोपानां कानन ओकसां कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य ये चक्रुः देव हेलनम्। अहो श्रीमदमाहात्म्यं गोपानां काननौकसां कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य ये चक्रुर्देव हेलनम्। अहो श्रीमदमाहात्म्यं गोपानां काननौकसां कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य ये चक्रुर्देव हेलनम्। अहो श्रीमदमाहात्म्यं गोपानां काननौकसां कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य ये चक्रुर्देव हेलनम्। अहो श्रीमदमाहात्म्यं गोपानां काननौकसां कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य ये चक्रुर्देव हेलनम्। अहो श्रीमदमाहात्म्यं गोपानां काननौकसां कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य ये चक्रुर्देव हेलनम्। माताजी, अहो श्रीमदमाहात्म्यं गोपानां काननौकसां कृष्णं मर्त्यं उपाश्रित्य ये चक्रुर्देव हेलनम्। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन्स। अहो जस्सी श्री because of opulence, mother of intoxication, mahatmyam the great extent, gopanam of the cowherds, kanana in the forest, okasam who dwell, krishnam krishna, martyam an ordinary human, upashritya taking shelter of, ye who chakruhu have committed, deva against the demigods, Helanam offense. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Indra said, "Just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods." Purport: Of course, Indra was really saying that the cowherd men had offended him, Indra, by taking shelter of Krishna, whom Indra considered to be a martya, a mortal. This was certainly a gross miscalculation on Indra's part. Om ajnana timiranthasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupah kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Namo mahavadanyaya krishna prema pradayate. Krishnaya krishna chaitanya namine gauratvise namaha. He krishna karuna sindho dinabandho jagatpate. Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sadhu, sadhu. Just one thought struck my mind. While you are chanting responsively the verse, Sanskrit is a very refined language. Just one syllable missing or one syllable added, we have seen even in the Bhagavatam, makes such a big difference. So today's verse, first line reads, Aho Shri Madamahatmyam. But because of our conditioning, and I read it as Aho Srimad Mahatmya. Just like Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Shri Mada Mahatmya, intoxicated. Small Mada is of intoxicated and Srimad means full of, you know, something which gives pleasure to Shri, Srimad Bhagavatam. So small difference makes a big difference in what it means. Small change in how we pronounce. Maybe we'll change by our Sanskrit language lessons, how to speak Sanskrit. So maybe we'll improve our Sanskrit, spoken Sanskrit. So when I was preparing for this class, I was like, basically, first of all, while reading these pastimes and many other pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very easy for us to perceive, you know, Indra as a villain. Very easy. So I was wondering, is it actually like that? So some thoughts which came to mind is that now Krishna has to teach conditioned souls like me so many instructions so that we can improve in our spiritual life. And ultimately, because Krishna wants us more than us, it is Krishna's desire that we go back home, back to Godhead. He presents so many things. So just like mother-in-law, if she wants to instruct her daughter-in-law, she won't directly instruct the daughter-in-law because there might be a misunderstanding. So she instructs her daughter, and through that she hopes that the daughter-in-law will understand what she is trying to convey. Similarly, why? Because the relationship with the daughter and mother is quite close. They understand each other and there won't be any big misunderstanding sort of. So similarly, in Krishna, we see all these episodes with Indra. In various cantos they come, where Indra plays the role of a personality who is, you know, he is puffed up, or he is proud, or he is jealous, he is envious. Basically it is Krishna who is using Lord Indra, who is a very good devotee. Like Vishnu Bhakta Bhaved Daiva Asuras Tad Viparyaya. So all the demigods, demigod means devotee. Like there is this verse that for one who is practicing devotional service, all the godly qualities are manifest in him. All the godly qualities. So basically demigod means devotee. Vishnu Bhakta Bhaved Daiva. So actually Indra is somebody who is very dear to Krishna, but Krishna is using him because there won't be any cause of misunderstanding. Indra won't sulk afterwards. Why you made me go through all this? Yeah. Arjuna won't sulk, just like the daughter won't sulk. She will understand what is the intent of the mother when she instructs her. And another thing is, again, Krishna shows in all these pastimes how Indra is favored by him. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he mentions this in many of his classes. He says, many times we see that a particular person, from our perception or from our vision, we feel that he is performing so many sinful activities, but apparently he is not getting any reactions. There is no reactions. Everything in life is going smoothly for that person. Even though from our perception he is performing so many activities which are not sanctioned. So His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj said, actually when a person is favored by Krishna and he performs sinful activities, then the indication that he is favored by Krishna is he gets the reaction for those sinful activities immediately. And he is able to correct himself. And if a person is not favored by Krishna, then apparently he goes on performing activities, and it goes on so much that more and more abominable activities are performed by that person. For which, by the laws of karma, he will have to suffer, he will have to pay. But it shows that Krishna is so disgusted with that person that he doesn't want to intervene and show him that what you are doing is right. Or he is so... not so favored. But Indra, in this case, we see every case that we see in Bhagavatam, Indra is like a, you know, a favored devotee of Krishna, and that is why Krishna, first of all, to set an example for us, and secondly, immediately he comes and, you know, he corrects the situation and shows Indra what is the problem, where he is going wrong. So, keeping both these points in mind, I would like to first, you know, this is like a disclaimer statement, sort of long disclaimer, but please, during my class, if it seems that I am being derogatory towards Lord Indra or something like that, that's not my intention. And of course, it's not the intention of Krishna in this particular purport also, in this pastime also. So please correct me if I do something like that. So this particular verse and purport, if we see, we can look at it from two perspectives. When we see the verse, Indra says, just see how this cowherd man living in forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the gods. So first perspective that came to my mind is, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti mam mudha manusim tanuma ashrita. So this is classic case, Indra exhibiting avajananti mam mudha manusim tanuma ashrita, and he is actually saying that they have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna. Indra considered Krishna to be a martya or a mortal. And he is taking, that is Krishna's role. And as a martya, Indra feels himself to be superior to a martya, a person of this mortal world. So, it is a sense of pride that comes into Indra. Actually, that this is my worship. How dare this insignificant mortal person take away my worship? Who is he to do this? Like even Kaliya, when Krishna in the Kaliya pastime, Krishna jumps into the water. Very nice description in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna jumps into the water and starts sporting in the lake like a lordly elephant. And when Kaliya hears these sounds, he immediately, you know, understands that somebody is trespassing. And he could not tolerate that somebody is trespassing within his personal zone. So he comes to investigate. Similarly, we see so many places, people have that no entry for hawkers, salesmen, beware of dog, you know. These are all indications which says that this is my area, you know, you cannot walk in here. So basically it's a sense of pride that Indra has, that how can an insignificant person stop my this? Basically, but if we again look from what Krishna has spoken, of course he is going to speak it much later, as Radha Govind Maharaj said, at this age he is not yet spoken the Bhagavad Gita. Radha Govind Maharaj was very nicely explaining that actually right now Krishna is even denying his own existence as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. But later on when he speaks Bhagavad Gita, he'll turn whatever he has spoken now to Nanda Maharaj, he'll turn it upside down, totally upside down. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that actually when somebody worships certain demigods, the faith to worship that demigod is also provided by Krishna, and whatever results is obtained by such worship, that is actually provided by Krishna. You know, it's the original provider is Krishna. Maybe that demigod might be just an intermediate agent. So Krishna says, so that is what Krishna says. And even though as a local custom, Brajvasis may be worshipping because ancestors have been worshipping, they are worshipping Indra, but then that is not, it's a mark of gratitude for the bountiful rains that Indra provides, and therefore there are such grasses and the cows eat the grasses. But Krishna says that actually this faith is provided by him, and the results which are obtained from such worship are also provided by Krishna. So Indra had nothing to be proud of. but still he is puffed up with pride. So this is just, I was thinking that how we feel proud because of something, and basically he is talking this because he feels that this is an insignificant person. How dare he meddle in my worship? He doesn't have any power and I can crush him very easily. He is considering Krishna as a mortal. So he is again intoxicated actually with his own power. How can this mortal person come in between my worship? How is it possible? So this is one aspect of this verse, and the other aspect which I was thinking about was from this verse is, Indra says, just see how these cowherd men living in forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. So as I mentioned, first of all, he is not acknowledging Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is actually suffering from the pride syndrome. But then he is reflecting it on the Brajavasis and saying they are intoxicated by pride. They are intoxicated so much by pride. When actually it is he who is intoxicated, and because of which he cannot tolerate this slight, you know, that his worship is now going to be offered to Govardhan. So he just cannot tolerate it. So basically the other thing which Prabhupada many times mentioned in his classes, in his purports is, Atmavat Manyate Jagat. This is a very nice this. That we look at the world from our own lenses. We wear a particular shade of glass and then we look at the world through those glasses, and everything is tinted by that shade. And because here Indra was intoxicated, he felt that the Brajavasis are intoxicated by pride. So I felt that let me talk a little more about this. So people see the world according to their perceptions, priorities, desires, or as I said, all put in one thing is lenses, whatever glasses which you are wearing. Therefore, reality will not be seen by every person in the same way. So this one time, His Grace Gauram Prabhu was saying that one time a teacher brought a glass of whiskey in the college classroom, and he said biology class, and put a worm in the glass, and then he asked the class, so what do you learn from this? So now the teacher was expecting maybe somebody would say that, you know, see, alcohol is so powerful, if a worm can be destroyed, how much more trouble it will cause in our system if we ingest it and all that. He was expecting that kind of a response. So one student raised his hand and he said, okay, what do you understand from this? So he said, actually, from this I understand that we should ingest alcohol every day because it destroys all the worms from our system. So basically, as I said, people look at the world according to their perception. Like one person, he was limping on the road. So an orthopedic doctor saw him. He said, do you have a fracture? He said, no. So immediately another person came. He said, do you have some nerve problem with the nerves? Because he was a neurological doctor. So he said, "Arey, no, don't unnecessarily trouble me with all these things. It's just that my chappal is broken, therefore I am walking in a limping fashion. Just my chappal is broken, so I have to walk in a limping fashion." So Devamrata Maharaj says, very nicely, he puts it in very nice and technical. He says that spiritual knowledge is state specific and material knowledge is caliber specific. It does not depend upon the purity of consciousness. So how we look at it, how we look at the world around us, from a spiritual consciousness, from spiritual perspective and a material perspective, is totally different. We have so many examples even in the Bhagavatam, where similar situation, two different personalities are put in the similar situation, but how they react to that situation is totally different. We have the wife of Chitraketu Maharaj, whose son died, and she starts criticizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the death of the son. And we have Draupadi, whose son also dies. But she talks about, she takes to the virtuous quality of forgiveness. Why? Because she feels the pain of Kripi. So two same situation, both lost their sons, but you know how they are looking at things depending on what is their perspective. Then Abhimanyu dies and Arjuna laments but continues his service. And Ashwatthama dies and Drona hears this and he stops fighting. Narad Muni, he instructs the, this is a very classic thing. Narad Muni, he instructs the Prachetas, this is one of the instructions to Prachetas is about that famous verse about watering the root of the tree. Yatha taror moola nishechanena trippyanti yat skanda bujo pashaka. That means, if you want to actually give nourishment to a tree, instead of watering the fruit, flower, this, that, you know, just water the root of the tree. And what will happen? The entire tree will get nourished. All the parts of the tree will be nourished. Similarly, if you want to actually serve, you know, instead of serving individual demigods, just worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And automatically all the individual demigods, they will also be satisfied by your worship. So, this same thing, similar sort of thing, Hiranyakashipu, he says that when the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches, twigs and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, for the demigods for whom Lord Vishnu is life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. Both are these in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, on one side, watering the root and cutting the root. Exactly similar as analogy, but depending upon what is the like, as I said in the beginning, Vishnu Bhakta Bhaved Daiva, Asuras Tad Viparaya. So what is spoken by Narad Muni to Prachetas, Yatha taror moola nishechanena, similar concept, but Hiranyakashipu is turning it totally upside. If I cut the tree, I cut the root, similarly if I kill Vishnu, all these demigods will just wither away. So thing is, people see this world through their own lenses. But reality is not seen by every person in the same way. Reality will appear stark naked only to those who are freed from the desire to lord it over material nature. So in all these examples, you know, we see that Hiranyakashipu, the epitome of somebody trying to lord it over material nature. I mean, we can say in Hindi, na bhuto na bhavishyati. No one has ever even thought before him or after him, no one has even ever thought about lording it over material nature to that extent, which the scale at which he thought about, nobody has ever imagined even. You know, maybe somebody can talk about few states or few countries, at most somebody might think up to this one planet. You know, but Hiranyakashipu, his thing was the entire universe. He wanted to lord it over the entire universe. And he actually almost achieved it. So, even in the case of Indra, we have some interesting pastimes in the Bhagavatam, where he is seeing things from his own, you know, tinted lenses, so to say. So that he looks at it the same way. So in this very beautiful pastime of Lord Krishna is going to Amravati, not in Maharashtra, but the... Who said it just recently? Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. He was also mentioning this. He went to the capital of the demigods, Amravati, to return the earrings of Mother Shachi and the umbrella of Lord Varuna. And at that time, Satyabhama sees this celestial tree of Parijat. And when he sees that, when she sees that celestial tree, one time Rukmini had those flowers and she had always wanted to also possess those flowers. So then, she tells Krishna, can we take this tree? So Krishna says, okay, let us take this tree to Dwarka. And when he is taking that, now, just see the dichotomy. Just a few moments ago, Indra was so grateful, you know, full of gratitude that, you know, he has restored the things stolen by Narakasura and all that. And now Krishna is just taking away the Parijat tree, and immediately he says that he runs after Krishna and he says that you are a henpecked husband. You are a henpecked husband by your wife. Satyabhama is, you know, nagging you so much, and therefore, just like a henpecked husband, you are coming to steal this tree. That's how he rebukes Krishna. Indra rebukes Krishna. So actually, again we see in this situation, actually it was not Krishna who was henpecked by Satyabhama, because he is actually lord of everything. He is the lord of everything. Who was henpecked was, Indra was henpecked by Shachi. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentioned this in his commentary, that actually it was Indra who was henpecked. Therefore, when he is looking at Krishna, he is again bringing the same clouded vision, that you are a henpecked husband. And one more pastime again, where Lord Indra is again the protagonist, he says this pastime where he comes to this King Prithu's, you know, when he is performing the sacrifices. So not only King Prithu, but many times when Prabhupada mentions in the purport that many times when Indra sees that some sage or some personality is performing certain austerities, certain yajnas, by which, you know, his power might exceed that of Indra, then immediately Indra starts getting fearful, because he is fearful of his position as Indra. So similarly, when King Prithu was about to perform the 100th sacrifice, it was not that King Prithu had a desire to become Shatakratu. King Prithu did not have a desire of getting that name, that he is this person who has performed 100 sacrifices, 100 Ashwamedh sacrifices. No, that was not at all his desire. His desire was, he was doing it for the welfare, for the benefit of the people throughout his kingdom. That was his only desire. He never had a desire of going after. In fact, Prithu Maharaj had to be convinced to come back and become the king of the entire world. In the first place, he didn't want to be even that. He had to be convinced, you know, to please come and occupy this position. So, what to speak of occupying the position of Indra? He didn't at all, he was not interested in that. But Indra, he is looking at this situation that, oh my God, now he is performing the 100th sacrifice. If he performs 100th sacrifice, he will take over my position. So again, we see a situation where somebody is using the tinted lenses and looking through those glasses and feeling that, oh my God, this is very terrible. You know, I have to do something about it. Otherwise, I lose my position. So, I was just thinking that this is the one aspect that we can look at it, but as practicing devotees, you know, it's a very nice thing that, okay, this is one aspect of it, is that avajananti mam muda, Arjuna, Indra becomes unnecessarily proud of something which he doesn't possess. Another is atmavat manyate jagat. So we look at the world through our own tinted lenses and perceive the world according to what our desires are, what our inclinations are. So I was just going through certain things. So I found this very nice example of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he was very uncompromising in his service to Krishna as far as he himself was concerned. Every day, without fail, so many of his servants, they have chronicled this, that Prabhupada, wherever he would go in the world, you know, he would never be like, you know, okay, now I am jet lagged, 2 days, I'll just crash out. Nothing. As soon as he land at some place, whatever will be that local time, he will continue schedule as if, you know, the same thing is happening. You know, if he lands in a place and it's time for his lunch, he'll honor lunch and then continue his daily activities, whatever he does on a regular basis every day. No difference. So, he was very strict with himself. and his daily spiritual practices, but he showed understanding and compassion towards his neophyte disciples. So one very nice, very sweet example is there of Shyam Sundar Prabhu. In the very early days, he was, he was an expert with woodwork. So he was asked to carve the first Jagannath Baldev Subhadra deities in ISKCON. So when he was carving, and when Prabhupada one time came to see how the work was progressing, at that time there was a pack of cigarettes on Lord Jagannath's head, the deity which he was carving. So immediately he felt quite embarrassed. But Prabhupada said, no, it's all right. Prabhupada didn't need to become addicted to cigarettes to understand his disciples' plight. He instructed Shyam Sundar to reduce by one the number of cigarettes he smoked each day until the habit was gone. So this is a very nice, sweet pastime that we see, where Prabhupada, because he had no contamination in his heart, there was no lens, therefore he was free of propensity to find fault. But, this lens, when we see through the lens, there is always a problem that we find fault. Like here we see in this pastime, Indra is finding fault with Krishna and the Brajvasis, that they are intoxicated with pride and their prosperity. But actually, if we reverse the mirror towards Indra, it's actually, we will see that he is intoxicated in this particular situation. He is intoxicated with pride. He wants that worship for himself rather than Govardhan, and he is feeling a sense of loss, and that is coming out as they are intoxicated by pride. So this Atmavat Manyate Jagat, if it stops at that we see and okay, but generally the next step to Atmavat Manyate Jagat is we start finding faults, and that is a very dangerous situation. For practicing devotees, that is a very dangerous situation. When we start finding faults with devotees. Because we will not be able to understand completely what the other person is trying to do unless we ask. Just as we are looking at it from our perspective, the person in front of us will be doing it, looking at us from their own perspective. So, in the course of searching for, preparing for this class, I came across a very nice article by Her Grace Archana Siddhi Mataji in the July-August edition of International BTG, July-August 2009. It is called Cultivating an Empathetic Heart. So, I'll just read it verbatim because I don't think I'll be able to do justice if I try to speak based on that. And I feel that is something which will help us as practicing sadhakas to overcome this mentality of finding faults because of looking at the world from our own perspectives. Atmavat Manyate Jagat. So basically she wrote this article when she was training, she was going through an internship, psychotherapy internship or something she was doing. So in the course of that, she came across certain experiences and she has written this article. I'll just read a particular portion of it, which I felt personally for myself very helpful to deal with it. And it's very helpful to understand how, as practicing sadhakas, we can handle these particular situations in our own personal lives. So she says, Krishna helps his fledgling devotees by purifying any mentality that prevents them from coming closer to Him. When we form opinions of people and their situations, we should do so with the desire to be of assistance and to please our Guru and Krishna. That kind of thinking will help us advance in spiritual consciousness. But if we evaluate others with a mentality of exploiting them or putting them down to elevate our own sense of importance, that kind of judgment will hinder our spiritual progress. One of the most unwanted qualities in the heart of a practitioner of bhakti yoga is the tendency to judge others without concern for their spiritual welfare. This leads to fault finding and puts us at risk of Vaishnava Aparadha or offending Krishna's devotees. If we are fortunate, Krishna will correct this tendency in our heart. If we are fortunate. Sometimes Krishna, the originator of experiential empathy training, will place us in a situation similar to that of the person we are judging. Although this can be disconcerting, it is the Lord's kindness to help uproot the qualities in our heart that are obstacles to loving the Lord and His devotees. When I was a young devotee, I was strict about attending all the temple programs. But I found myself critical of devotees who didn't always attend. One devotee suffered from an illness and did her best to come when she could. But I felt she could do better. Not long after those thoughts contaminated my consciousness, however, I became ill and often missed Mangalarati, the early morning worship. Krishna accomplishes many things by one action. And one result of my illness was a diminishing of my critical mentality. Krishna has often placed me in situations similar to those of people for whom I lacked empathy, helping me develop more understanding of others' difficulties. The saying, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, means that we tend to see others as we are. Often the very thing we find reprehensible in another is a negative quality lurking within ourselves. This is like, this sums up the whole, this one line sums up the whole verse that we are reading. Often the very thing we find reprehensible in another is a negative quality lurking within ourselves. So it is prudent to reflect on this when we form opinions of others, and to look within our heart to expose our own faults. This was very, very, very helpful for me, especially because personally, even in my dealings with devotees, I have this experience many times. And later on, I sit and contemplate, and I, you know, it's something like, you know, there is this story of a lady, you know, in a village. And she would be like, you know, spread gossip about people left, right and center. And somehow she would never understand what is, you know, people would say, why you speak like this about others? Why you speak like this about others? It's not good. Somehow she would never understand, I mean, what's the problem? So one time one wise man came and he said, okay. So the people of the village, they came and started talking. She speaks like this. So she still could not understand what is the thing. So the wise man said, okay, no problem. He gave her a basket of feathers. He said, take this basket of feathers and you walk from one end of the village to the other end of the village. Keep putting the feathers down on the streets. So she said, okay. So he puts the feathers all over the street. Then she comes back with the empty basket. He says, now you go and collect all those feathers again. So they, are you nuts? How can I collect those feathers again? The wind and the breeze must have blown them all over the place. So they, similarly, when we speak things without thinking, when we form opinions and air them without thinking about others, you know, without concern of the time, place, circumstance and how we do it, then it's like this basket of feathers. Now once they are put out, you cannot again collect them back. And they travel far and wide. So many times in my life I have personally experienced this. And I sit down and wonder, now why did I speak that? You know. But it's like that basket of feathers. I can never bring it back. I cannot collect them and bring them back and, you know, nullify them. So this was a very, very, touching article for me, you know, heart touching. And I thought I would share it with you all, especially because it was very much relevant to today's theme of Atmavan Mandate Jagat. So the last, you know, as it, again I would like to read it, that the last part, often the very thing we find reprehensible in another is a negative quality lurking within ourselves. So, what can we do about it? It is prudent to reflect on this when we form opinions of others and to look within our heart to expose our own faults. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments, any corrections? గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవత్ మహాపురాణ కీ జయ. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ.